This week, Parshas Vayeshev, I wanted to talk about the machlokes, the argument among the disciples of Pshischa about what the Rebbe meant. It talks about Yehuda, and it's brought in Kol Simcha. So he brings the Medrash, Roshmu Banosim Posach, Ki Anoichi Yodati Samachshoes. He brings the Posach from Yirmiyahu. God says, because I know thoughts. So the Shvotim, the brothers of Yosef, were busy with the selling of Yosef. Yosef himself, Oisik B'sakoi V'tanisoi, he's busy with his sackcloth and his fasting. Yaakov is busy with his sackcloth and his fasting. Reuven is busy, everybody's busy. The Yehuda, Oisik Likach Isha. And Yehuda, he's getting married. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, what's God doing? Oisik Uboira Oiro Shel Mashiach. God is busy creating the light of Mashiach. So the Pshischa Rebbe, the Rebbe Rebunim says, is a very, very difficult medrash to understand. What is the point that the medrash is trying to make? I mean, why bring this posuk? Ki anoichi yodati samach hashoves. I know the thoughts. Of course, God knows the thoughts. So he says, there was something special about the thought that Yehuda was having that made it possible for God to create the light of Mashiach. Everybody's busy. One way or another, everybody got caught up in this catastrophic calamity of the sale, the Mechira of Yosef. So everybody's got a stake in it. I did too much, I didn't do enough. Reuven says, had I known, I would have returned him to his father. And Yaakov feels like it's the end of the world because of the Kabbalah that he had, that if any of his children die in his lifetime, then everything is going to stop. Even Yitzchak was honor-bound not to reveal to Yaakov that Yosef is still alive. So everybody's crying, and everybody's fasting and davening. So the Rebbe Rebunim says, I might have thought, le'ene bosor, if you look with fleishige Eugen, that what the brothers were doing was the right thing. If you're in trouble, you daven. If you feel you've done a sin, so you do tshuva. What could be wrong about that? I mean, isn't that, we're Yidden, that's the way we do things. Now, Vos, here you've got Yehuda. He's marrying, he's getting married. So the Medrash is telling us, nobody knows what thoughts are buried inside somebody's heart. And that God looks at the thoughts buried inside the brothers, and he compares it with the thought that's buried inside Yehuda. And God says, with the thoughts that Yehuda is having, I can make Mashiach. I can bring the light of Mashiach into the world. And that's really what the Rebbe Rebunim said. So of course his Talmidim all argue what did he mean? Because he doesn't state it clearly. So in the Sefer Ramusayim Tzoifim, which is a pirish on the Tana de Be'eliyo, and here In the Kol Simcha itself, on the page, there's a Haggor, a very long Haggor. There's a famous vort from the Kotzker about what he meant. I want to take as a starting off point something the Ishbitzer writes. The Ishbitzer writes, and we encounter it actually in the second chelik of the Meir Shiloyach. He says that Yehuda thought he's ruined everything. The only option now is to give birth to a new soul. Ein li shum etza, I have no other option. Rak lahoilid nefesh toif, I need to give birth to a good soul. And God, Yudei Machshavos, Hiskim leMachshavos Yehuda. And God, who knows thoughts, agrees with Yehuda that was the right Machshava. From that Machshava, from that thought, God says, ah, I can build Mashiach. You know, Likotsky, when he was told that this is what people are learning pshat in the Rebbe, he blew up. He said, "This my Rebbe never said such a thing. Chalila, far be it from attributing such an idea to my Rebbe, the Heilige Pshischa, the Rebbe Rabbunim. What? If you do an Avera and you're so bad, so what? You're going to have children? Your children are going to be a tikkun? What a terrible idea. You know, well, I screwed things up so bad, so I'm not going to even bother to do tshuva. I'll just go get married and plunk it all on my children, and they'll do tshuva for me. They'll be the tikkun for my soul," or something like that. The Rebbe never said such a thing. And so most of the Talmidim of Pshischa, they suggest that what the Rebbe Rabbunim meant was that Yehuda said, you know, I've ruined things so badly, the only option for me is not to try and fix. What I've broken can't be fixed. It's obvious that everything that I'm doing is wrong. My approach is bad, because had my approach not been bad, had my kavona, had my intent been 100% pure, then this catastrophic calamity wouldn't have happened to the family and to the world, because now it seems that my father is inconsolable and believes that the world is going to come to an end because the 12 Gvulei Alachson, the 12 directions of the cube, now are without proper the elements, that, you know, everything's ruined. So therefore, what I'm going to do, I'm going to be like a baby. I'm going to go back to basics. I'm not going to try and fix. I'm going to try and be clever. I'm not going to try and be smart. I'm going to go back to, you know what, the first mitzvah, everybody's commanded, Pru Revu. Let's go back to basics. I'm going to get married. So the way the Kotzker wants to read the Rebbe Rabbunim is that Yehuda is post-clever. He's coming from this tamimus. He's coming with this a simple solution to this savage mess that he's confronted with. He's like, he looks around, he's in the forest there, and it's like a lion has just been eating up There's, you know, body parts all over the... What am I going to do? It's like, I'm not a doctor. I can't fix it. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to go back to basics. Because I don't have any chokhmah. I don't have any chokhmah. I don't have any ideas. So the Kotzker reads this post-apocalyptic world in which Yehuda finds himself, that Yehuda doesn't have any ideas of what to do. Doesn't have any ideas of fixing. In fact, it's like the bomb has gone off, the world is like full of radiation, poisoning and fallout, and like, what do we do? You know, there's no cities, there's nothing left. What would a person do? You go try and find a piece of forest somewhere where you can live. And that's what Yehuda does. Whereas Yaakov and the brothers, Reuven, Yisachar, Zvulun, Shimon and Levi, Yosef himself, they're still scrabbling around trying to reconstruct the world. And from an attempt at reconstruction, Mashiach, the light of Mashiach, doesn't come from reconstruction. The light of Mashiach is post-apocalyptic. It's like a rebirth of the world. It's back to basics. I think it's like a Blakean vision. Paradise regained. Let's go back to Adam and Chava, Pru Urvu, be fruitful and multiply. But the Ishbitzer, who really understands his Rebbe, Loizaz Mimikoimai, he doesn't retract. In fact, the Ishbitzer goes into this idea again and again in this parsha. We have one version in volume 1 of Meir Shelech, and there's another version in volume 2, and it's treated at great length. So he says, Yehuda, first of all, without referring directly to the pasuk that the Medrash brings, the Medrash threw in the pasuk from Yirmiyahu, Ki anochi yodati es hamachshavos. God says, because I knew the thoughts. So the Medrash takes that verse and explains Shvotim, the tribe, so Yisukim Mechiras Yaseh. Yosef is busy with his sackcloth. But why that verse? Ki ani yodati es hamachshavos. So the word there is das. Ki anochi yodati. And there lies the connection between what Yehuda is doing and what God is thinking. Ki anochi yodati. Das is always the connection, right? So, if a person, the Ishbitzer says, and this he says in Chelek Sheni, if a person can really trust that God is in charge of the world, then you come to a das, you come to a yediya, you come to a connection with God. See, the Shvatim, the brothers, Yaakov, Yosef, Yitzhak, everybody, they're still busy trying to fix the wrong that they've done. And there's still an element of, I'm in charge. Comes Yehuda and says, nah, I'm not in charge. Yehuda choshav, Yehuda thinks, shehu mitzidoi ein boi koyach lahashlim nafshi. Yehuda says, I don't know. I don't know what I can do to go on. I can't go on. There's nothing I can do. So, what did Yehuda? What was, when he realized there's nothing I can do, what was his next act? He says, I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to not try and twist the world into my shape and undo something that's not undoable and try and put the world back together. I'm not going to try and do that. I'm going to hand it over to God. Even though it doesn't look like there's any fixing, there's no way that this broken thing can be repaired, it's not my job to repair it. It's not my job to fix it. It's not my job. I don't have a job here except to connect with God. That connection is the yediyah. That's the das. Ki anochi yodati es hamachashovos, says God. That's the connection. So how does a person live out das? Well, in order to live out das, you have to get married. The thing is, the deepest thing is, we learned many times when we were going through the Sefer Yetzirah, one of the ideas in which Ishbitz is different from just about any other parish on the Torah is the Ishbitzer has this thread that he follows through, which is that when a person gets out of the way of himself and allows God to work through him, then he can achieve much more than if he doesn't act with kavono. That it's very nice if I'm davening with kavana. It's very nice if I'm worshipping God with my thoughts and with the intent to do good and with the intent to unify God and with all the kavanas, with all the intentions that a person, a God worshipper, can bring to every act. It's fantastic, amazing, but it's not the greatest. The greatest is when I allow myself to be a tool, an implement with which God does his kavonos. And the only time that a person can really reach that place is in the moment of orgasm. It's in the moment of sex. Because however much I try in my sexuality to do yichudim and to unite and to unify God and the Shekhinah and whatever, all these high and lofty, mighty things, whether I'm thinking in terms of Shemois HaKadoshim, whether I'm thinking in terms of personalities, doesn't really matter. Ultimately, there comes a moment where that's not what I mean. I forget about that. I have to lose my das. I have to step away from Chochmah and Bina. I have to lose the ability to maintain my awareness of my awareness. In losing my awareness of my awareness, I can become unconscious. And in that unconsciousness, there can flow through me the divine desire. And that is how the Eirei Shel Mashiach will come into the world. That's what the Ishbitza means when he says that Yehuda decides to give birth to a Nefesh Toif. How is he gonna give birth to a Nefesh Toif? Well, through an act of sex. He's going to get married, and in the orgasmic moment, he's going to lose himself. And in that is... So then the Ishbitzer says, wow, what a drama. What happens? He gives birth to Er. After he gives birth to Er, he gives birth to Oinon. Why? The Medrash of... That medrash isn't a response to the story of Yehuda and Tamar, right? That medrash is a response to the story, to the quote, "Vayered Yehuda meis Echov, v'yetad ish adulomi." That's the story of Yehuda getting married originally, right? So the Ishbitzer says Yehuda still had some lessons to learn. Because however insightful Yehuda is here, and he sees things that his brothers can't see, which is, the world is not up to us to fix, it's not up to the tzaddik to fix, it's not up to the Godol Hador to fix, it's up to God to fix. And we need to get out of the way and allow God to do the fixing that needs to be done. And sometimes it requires us to go through this calamity and catastrophe, and to find ourselves in the forest clearing full of body parts and, you know, things we can't put back together again, to make us realize who's in charge of the world, right? So Yehuda's had this insight, but he still hasn't realized other things about himself. And the most important thing that he has to realize about himself is that if he truly has hurt someone and destroyed someone and ruined someone and broken someone, then he's not going to be the instrument with which God brings the light of Mashiach into the world. That first, Yehuda has to realize that he was never responsible for the Mechiras Yosef, that he was never responsible for hurting his father and destroying the Mareches, you know, the whole constellation of heaven and earth and so on. That Yehuda had to realize that so far is he unaware that he's not even aware of how unaware he is. That all this time he's been thinking of himself as a major player in the whole drama of the sale of Yosef. He's mistaken. Because had he really been responsible for hurting Yosef the way he did, then nothing could have made him, Yehuda, into the conduit through which the good is going to come into the world. The light of Mashiach is going to come into the world. And so God shows him through the death of Aaron Oinon that if it's really as you think, that you take a screwed and twisted and made everything like unworkable, then the children that are going to come from you are also going to be twisted and screwed and unworkable. And so the Ishbitzer gives us these two paradigms of the tzaddik. One is the tzaddik who's afraid to get involved in the world in case he ruins things. Right? I don't want to be born because what's going to happen to my neshama? My neshama is so beautiful. Why do I want to jeopardize it with 70 years in this physical verstunkener body? What's in it? What a stupid waste of time. the best thing is not to be born. And so Eir doesn't want to be makhish the yoifi of his wife, right? He doesn't want to get his wife pregnant because in case she loses her beauty, that's the metaphor for the person who doesn't want to tarnish the shine of the soul, you know, by getting involved and down and dirty. Oinan, what does Oinan do? He says, what do I want to go down to the world for? Who's going to gain? The neshama is not going to gain anything. The neshama is going to be the same neshama afterwards. So what, the body? Why do I want to, what's the body done for me that I want to go down and do something for my body? Right? So Eir's sin is that the body doesn't want to get the neshama dirty. Oinan's sin is that the neshama can't be bothered doing a toiva for the body, right? So it's not loy loy yehazora. Who's going to benefit? The body's going to have a oilam haba. Very nice, very nice. And I, what am I going to have from it? 70 years? Chvilas nisht. And the Ishvitz says that both these thoughts had been in Yaakov. That there was something about Yaakov that if he could avoid getting his hands dirty in Olam Hazeh, he would avoid it. So from those thoughts, right? And even the Ishvitz says Avraham Avinu, who thought twice about going to chase the kings when he heard that Lot was taken captive, he thought to himself, well, you know, Lot's a Greserusha. He's a very wicked man. He went to live in Sodom, you know, instead of living with me. Like, you know, maybe I should just do nothing, you know, and let history sort itself out. We all have thoughts like that. Maybe better off not doing. So first of all, Yehuda had to be shown that whatever your thoughts are, eventually you're going to act them out. Right? So Eir and Oinan are just symbols, metaphors for this. Either, you know, I don't want to get it her dirty, or, you know, why should I bother? But then, when Yehuda realizes, what's his great insight? I was never cut off from God. Even when I was saying, Ma beitza l'chuvenim kirenu, even when I was saying, ah, let's sell our brother down to Egypt. And I thought to myself, how could I have said such a thing unless I'm completely devoid of compassion, unless I'm completely nuts? You know, after all, you know, when all the rationalization is over, it's like you took your brother, a 17-year-old boy, and you sold him into Egypt as a slave. Like, what were you thinking? So then when Yehuda realizes that he had never been cut off, and he realized that if a person is really acting on their own and does something bad, then the chances of them being able to, you know, reconstitute themselves is not going to happen. And that ultimately I have to believe that everything that's happening to me is min hashamayim. Everything that's happening to me is the hand of God operating my life. You know, just, I hear myself saying these words, but you know, who of us can admit that we believe such a thing? that everything that I've ever done, every aveiro, every sin, every bad thought, every hurtful sentence that I've ever spoken, every petty little wrong, you know, withholding or lie or whatever that I've ever spoken or done, that this is God working through me, right? You know, this is some other kind of religion than the one that we were taught, right? I mean, we were taught, you know, for everything you do, you got to do tshuva because, you know, you did bad, you know. And Ki Anoichi Yodati Esamach HaShavois, Pshischa is saying that, you know, it's nothing good is going to come from that kind of thinking. The only way that, the only way forward, the only way that the light of Mashiach is going to come is if I can look through everything that I've done to see God inside it. That's the Oiroi Shel Mashiach, how it comes into the world, right? As soon as Yehuda is ready, so he gives birth to Shelah. But now, it's not enough. All right, he's learned his lessons. He got there, he got the message, but it's not enough. Now, Yehuda has to go and meet Tamar. And the angel of Tava, the Malach HaMamun ala Tava, has to grab him so that he has no free will whatsoever. That even if he wants to walk away from Tamar, that's it. No way. Why? Why do we have to have such a... Why do we have to have such a story, a little side story, in order to finally... After Yehuda's been taught all his lessons and he's had his face rubbed in his illusions until the illusions have dissipated and dissolved, and now he sees with crystal clarity that he is in the hands of God. And then all the bad decisions that he made were no more than him being an instrument of the divine plan. Fair enough. Now... Yehuda's walking along the street. He sees this Zoyna prostitute. He doesn't want to stop. Vayete leho el hadorech. The Gemara says, the Malach, the angel who's in charge of lust, said, hey, where do you think you're going? And Yehuda says, I'm going home. You know, I want to go. He says, no. Oh, where's Mashiach going to come from? Where's the Tzaddikim going to come from if you go home? No. And then Yehuda is forced into this act that is really without das. It's like the square root of minus das. Ki anoichi yodati, says God, because I'm all the das that needs to happen. You have to get out of the way of getting out of your way. You have to go so beyond. So what is Yehuda's machashova, right? He says to her, how much are you going to charge? She says, gedi minoism. So give me a goat, give me a kid. All right, he says, you know what, I don't have it on me right now. She says, well, you know, I get these customers, they come into my store all the time, they promise, they this, they bounce. No. And he can't say, well, will you be here this afternoon, right? No. It's like, it's got to be now, because the Malach HaMamun al Atav has got hold of him. So he says, you know what, I'll give you an Erovoin, I'll give you a pledge, I'll give you my credit card and my driver's license. How about that? She says, all right. So he can't wait. He has to do it right there. But now the Rebbe Rabbunim says, now what happens? He's done the deed, right? So the lust is all gone now. Now what? Now, Yehuda says to himself, you know, this is really not nice. This woman, this prostitute, this madam here, she's got my driver's license and my credit cards, and this could be really embarrassing, not just for me, but for my family, for my father, my mother, my brothers. This could look really bad. Listen, I'm good for the money, right? I'm Yehuda, the son of Yaakov. I got plenty goats. I'll send her a goat. What's the thing? What? To leave her with my credit card and stuff, with my picture ID? I don't know if that's such a good idea. So the Rebbe Rabbunim says that had it been anybody else in the world, even one of the brothers, that's the implication, even one of the brothers, the holy brothers, they would have found some justification for taking back the Eiravon, for taking back the pledge. Some way of saying, you know what, I'm good for the money. You can trust me. I trust me. I know I'm going to pay you. Give me back my pledge. There was something here, some integrity, some act that goes beyond the normal in Yehuda. He's spent. The desire is spent, right? You know, like in, it's the cold light of morning, right? It's not nice. He looks at himself and says, "Nicht schein," right? He doesn't take it out on her, and he has all the power. He's the man, right? She's alone. Nobody can see. Nobody even knows the story when he comes back tomorrow. It's like nobody heard of her. They're alone. He could, at that moment, he has all the power. She has none of the power. He could have used the power in a way that was justifiable to anybody in the world except Ki ani yodati yasamach hashavos. The Rebbe Rabbunim says that's the moment where all the machshavos that Yehuda has ever had comes into the Kura Barzel. You know, it's like this is where they're being tested, assayed. Are they sterling silver or are they a mixture? You know, are they 100% pure? And Yehuda didn't even have one thought about depriving her of her pledge and making some excuse for taking it off her by force or trying to talk her out of it or what gunished. He walked away, he left her with it, and this is the right thing to do. That you can bring Mashiach with. Because that kind of integrity shows everything you've ever done has integrity. So the Rebbe Rabbunim is like being very far out here, right? I mean, you talk to people, it's like, what's the big deal? What? No, the Rebbe Rabbunim says, this is it. This is it. Can you be trusted? And the Rebbe Rabbunim there in Kol Simcha, he says, Lairotza l'shanois diburoi. Yehuda didn't want to change anything that he'd said. V'nichalei l'meikim behemenusa. And he was ready to leave it on trust. Vizu mitzvah. And this is a mitzvah. Not trying to cheat the prostitute of her pledge. That is a mitzvah. Ube'im loy kaima. And he finishes by saying, and had he not kept that trust, which the position of power put him in, so einecho re'ei, lift up your eyes and look. What could have happened in the end? Chasu chalila, God forbid, three souls could have been killed. Tamar and the twins that she was carrying, and Mishdalshalus Rus v'David ad Mashiach, all everything could have. And just because he was, you know, he maintained his integrity and his honesty, and so that brings the light of Mashiach. And that really is what proves, in a sense, that all the things that he'd done with his brother Yosef were done with the same kind of integrity, without rage, without anger, without trying to, you know, get back, you know. Had he had any of those really midos megunos, they would have come out here. You know, if he was acting out on anger or rage or hatred or anything, this would have been up, they would have manifest here, but they didn't, because it was 100% integrity. That is Yehuda.